Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, our subject on the Beacon Broadcast for the last couple of days has been the subject of suffering. Why God allows suffering. And we are learning something of the purpose for trials in the lives of God's children. And we are finding this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And thus far, in verse 6, we have seen four elements of these trials, four truths about the trials that God brings into our lives. And what are these truths? Well, number one, these trials are diverse, various trials, various kinds of trials, all different kinds of trials that we shall have. Number two, they are painful, for they cause us grief. You have been grieved, says Peter, by various trials. Number three, they are purposeful, for he says, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, that means that these trials come into our lives only as they are necessary. Never a needless trial. That's the truth of God's Word. That's taught to us several places in the New Testament Scriptures, that we don't have any unnecessary trials. Everyone is necessary. Everyone has a purpose. And then finally, we're going to see today that these trials are temporary. And that's a great encouragement. So thank you for joining me this day, Friday, January 18, for another edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And many thanks to those of you who help us financially maintain this ministry on this station. Well, that's the last thought about these trials. They are temporary. Though now for a little while, says Peter, and again I'm going to read all of verse 6. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. They are temporary, though now for a little while, for a season. Now, sometimes our trials seem long, but that's only because we are not comparing them with eternity. In the light of eternity, our trials are short, no matter how long they may be. And some trials go on for years and years and years and years and years. I don't need to tell you that, because many of you are experiencing long-lasting trials. I'm thinking of some of God's saints who have been suffering pain that is unending for years and years and years, and have not been able to find relief or remittance from that pain. When you have pain that will not go away and it goes on for months and they roll into years and years and years and years, that seems like an eternity. But in eternity, that will seem like but a moment. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And therefore, knowing that our suffering is both temporary and purposeful makes it a whole lot more bearable. It doesn't mean that it makes it easy. It doesn't mean that we don't suffer and groan and grieve because of various trials, but knowing that every trial has a purpose designed by an omniscient and loving Heavenly Father, and recognizing that every trial has an end to it. It has an ending. We don't know when that ending will come. It may not end until we are taken out of this life, but it will come to a close someday at God's appointed time, and it will not last 1 minute longer than necessary. Not 1 minute longer than necessary. You say, well, I don't understand the reason for this trial. I don't understand why this is necessary. That's why we have to trust God. We have to believe His promises, and we have to take refuge in His character. What we know about God. We say He is omniscient, that is, He knows all things, but do we believe it? We say He is omnipotent, that is, has all power, can do anything that He desires to do, but do we truly believe it? We say that He is gracious and loving and long-suffering toward His children. We say we believe these things, but do we really believe them? It is in the midst of trial that these areas of our faith are greatly tested. And we've got to come to terms with whether or not we really believe that or not. And if we are God's true children, we will come through to a stronger faith. Yes, I do believe that. I believe all those things. Therefore, it is not necessary that I understand the reason for my trial. All that's necessary is that I believe that God understands the reason for my trial. And that it is not going to last 1 minute longer than necessary. And I don't need to know the reason. That's one of the big lessons of the book of Job. Sometimes Job seems like a very formidable book. It starts out okay in the first couple of chapters where you have this narrative story about Job and Satan coming before God and accusing Job of only serving God for profit because of the blessings that God bestows upon him. And God, in essence, says, no, that's not the character of Job's faith. Job doesn't serve me because he's getting goodies out of it. He serves me because of who I am, and he has a genuine faith in me. And Satan says, not so. God says, it is so. Satan says, not so. God says, it is so. And so God allows Satan to make a test case out of Job, and Job is never told what's going on. All right, said God, let's find out who's right. You afflict him, but don't take his life. And Job has a severe trial, as you know. And the next several chapters of Job are the conversation, the dialogue, monologue in many cases, of his friends. And it just seems to go on and on and on and on and on until you get to the end of the book and the conclusion of things. But the point of it all is that Job never understands the reason for his trial, but he comes to the place where he is perfectly satisfied to trust God and his wisdom and his goodness and his purposes for Job's trial, and that he doesn't need to know the reason anymore. And that's the place where God wants to take us, every one of us. We always want to know why. The most important question is who? Who's bringing this trial? And we can start with secondary causes. Well, my husband, my wife, my neighbor, my boss, they're bringing this trial. Yes, that may be true, but go a step higher. Well, it's Satan. My archenemy, the enemy of my soul, he's the one that's bringing this trial. And there's probably truth in that too, yes, but go a little bit higher. And eventually, I don't know how many layers you'll have to go through to get there, but eventually you'll have to come to the conclusion that your trial has been brought to you by God. If He is sovereign, if He rules everything in His universe, if He oversees the lives of His children and doesn't allow anything to come into our lives but by His design and for our good and for His glory, as the Bible teaches, then we have to realize that God is the one who has brought this trial into our lives. He uses various means. He may use Satan as an agent of God's to bring a trial into our lives. Satan is ultimately only the unwilling servant of Jehovah. He does what God designs for him to do. Mystery of mysteries, but that's exactly so. And God uses Satan, and God allows Satan to manipulate people and use all kinds of circumstances to bring trials into our lives, but ultimately, God is the one who does it. God is the one who wills it. God is the one who designed it. And if it comes to us from God, and we know the character of God, who He is, what He's like, then we really don't need to know the reason for our trial. We need to know the one who has sent the trial, and that is sufficient. If we know that, if we know it comes to us from God, and we know who God is and what He's like, then that should solve it. That should settle it for us. We should be able to persevere joyfully and believingly and faithfully through the midst of any trial, because, not because we know the why of the trial, but because we know the who. And when we understand that by the design of God, our trials are many and varied, and when we understand that by the design of God, our trials are painful, and when we understand that our trials are purposeful, always purposeful, that there is never, ever in our life a trial but what is necessary, and when we understand that every trial is temporary, as the Bible says, and it came to pass. And that's a good text for our trials. It came to pass. We don't know when it's going to pass, but we know it's going to. It came. It came. Oh, it came. But it came to pass. And at God's appointed time, it will pass. It will last exactly as long as God wills it to last, and only as long as it serves His wise and gracious and perfect purposes. And when those purposes are fulfilled, it will be gone. And therefore, knowing that our suffering is purposeful, and knowing that it is temporary, and knowing the character of God, knowing that His purposes are always right and wise and gracious and loving, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are the called according to His purpose, and understanding, therefore, the who of the trials, we can trust each trial into the hands of our Heavenly Father. That's where they are anyway. We might as well acknowledge that, believe that, trust Him for that, and act accordingly, and honor Him in the doing. And may God give us grace and help to do exactly that. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.